Thank you, Brad. We're actually going to be looking at quite a few different passages of Scripture this morning, but I would encourage you just to park here in 2 Corinthians, because we'll be looking at these verses and a few others from this book of the Bible as we go through this morning. What I'm going to do this morning is something that I have never, ever done before. Yeah. I'm going to repeat to you a lesson that I gave just a little over a month ago. It was a lesson that I did in Sunday school class, so only about a third of you have heard it already. But after I gave it, I received quite a few encouraging comments about it, and more than one of you came up to me afterwards and said, "Craig, the whole congregation needs to hear this." So here it is. Here it is. And for those of you who are in that Sunday school class, I have done a little bit of streamlining and fine-tuning, so prayerfully, it will be all the more significant to you this morning and not just a rerun, okay? But the topic this morning is why share the gospel? And what I shared a couple of weeks ago was actually right out of my daughter's Bible school notes, from a class that she's taking by Dr. Richard Seymour. And I got to sit in that class early December with her. And these are some things that were listed out. I came back that Sunday and delivered a Sunday school lesson. And again, just really felt compelled even to share it with the congregation, especially as I was encouraged to do so. But there have been times in my life where someone has tried to get me to do something that they considered to be very important. But I, at the time, I didn't see the importance of it at all. I didn't see that it was even worth doing. And in that moment, I said something like this to them: "Just give me one good reason. One good reason why I should do this." Well, pertaining to the believer sharing the gospel of Christ with others, I'm not just going to give you one good reason. I'm going to give you 20 good reasons. So this is something else I've never done before. I've never had a 20-point sermon before. So we'll get out of here at some point today. Our topic, why share the gospel? And I pray that this impacts you as much as it has impacted me. Already this year, I have found myself, I actually noticed this, taking several opportunities to share the gospel that I actually believe I may not have taken had I not been convicted by one or more of these 20 items. When I was a child, my mom would say to me sometimes, she would say, "Craig, it's time to put your toys away now." And I, like many other children, would say in return, "Why?" And she would say, "It's almost dinner time." And I would say, "But I want to play with my toys after dinner too." And she would say, "But I want your toys out of the living room now." And we would go back and forth like this over and over again, with me asking her why and her giving me all of the reasons why, until finally she would play her trump card. And as I asked my last why, she would finally say, "Because I said so." And that was the end of the argument. Well, that's where I'm going to begin my argument this morning. Why share the gospel? Not because my mom said so, but because God said so. Because God says so. Number one, because God said so. Believers, those of us who have trusted in Christ for salvation, have been commanded by God to share the gospel. And if this were the only reason that God gave, it would be enough. We do not even need the other 19 reasons because this one is enough. God plays his trump card in Mark 16:15, where he commands his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That commission is also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, in Acts, and right here where Brad just read in 2 Corinthians. Okay, we are God's ambassadors, pleading with people to be reconciled to God. But because God knows that we are whining children sometimes, he gives us at least 19 other reasons. The first one is, though, because he said so. Number two, no other options lead to heaven. No other options lead to heaven. There is no other way for a person to be saved from the penalty of their sin and obtain eternal life in heaven. There's no other way. In fact, Galatians chapter 3 says that if there was another way, God would have told us. He would have given it to us. But there is no other way. There is no other Savior. In John 14:6, we talked about this Wednesday night for those of you that were here. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." 19 words from Jesus. There is no other name. As the Apostle Peter preached the gospel of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other options lead to heaven. Thirdly, why share the gospel? Well, Christ died for all, so all could hear. Christ died for all, so all could hear. And just a couple passages here. Hebrews 2:9 says, "Jesus tasted death for everyone." 1 John 2:2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, those of us that have believed, but for the whole world." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Christ died for all, so all could hear this message. Number four, people are condemned without Christ. Why share the gospel? People are condemned without it. They're condemned without Christ. While the penalty for sin is death and eternal separation from God in hell, there really is only one thing that condemns a person to hell. God doesn't condemn people. They condemn themselves. How do they do this? Listen to what the Apostle John says in John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He goes on and he says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God. Of the only begotten Son of God." We must share the gospel of Christ so that people have the opportunity to place their faith in him and avert the condemnation that is due them. People are condemned without Christ. Number five, why share the gospel? It is a sin to disobey God. What did God command us? What did Christ command us? You remember? What was it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it is a sin. It is a sin. Why should we share the gospel? Well, it's a sin to disobey God's command. Is it good to share the way of salvation with those who are doomed to condemnation? It is. Listen to what James 4:17 says about that. He says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. It is a sin to disobey God's command. That's why we need to, that's a reason to share the gospel. Number six, I'm going to run out of fingers, and I won't be pulling off my toes, but nor my shoes. All right. I'm already getting confused. Number six, why share the gospel? The Holy Spirit was given for this reason. The Holy Spirit was given for this reason. Now, the person of the Holy Spirit has many ministries in the life of a believer. He indwells them permanently. He guarantees them heaven. He empowers them to serve. But in Acts chapter 1, Jesus gives us the underlying reason for all of these ministries. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? He continues, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All of the ministries of the Holy Spirit are really geared. The underlying theme is the furtherance of the gospel. The indwelling, the guarantee, the empowerment to serve, our growth, are all given by the Spirit so that the gospel will go forth in this world. That is why the Holy Spirit was given. Number seven. Number seven hit me hard. Believers are on earth for this reason. Why share the gospel? Believers are on earth for this reason. And I'm going to read you again what Brad read earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. He says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The only reason that you and I, who have trusted in Christ, have not been taken home to heaven already is because we have been left here for the furtherance of the gospel, that we would grow in Christ's likeness and share him. He is the word. He is the life. He is the truth. He is the way. How long, in fact, maybe I should ask Mark this directly, school teacher Mark, how long would a school teacher keep his job if he went to school every day, sat behind his desk every day, attended all of the faculty meetings every day, okay, collected a paycheck every week, but never actually spoke to or taught the class? Okay. See, that's why he was hired, right? That's why he's there. That's his job. I gave this illustration a couple of weeks ago. By 1969, the USA had spent over $25 billion to send Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins in the Apollo 11 mission to land, walk upon, and study the moon's surface. What if they had got there and said, I'm not getting out of the capsule. It's too scary out there. I'm not doing that. That was the mission. That's why they were sent there. Maybe they would have been left there too until they accomplished what they were supposed to do. Maybe there's a parallel lesson for us in that. The reason we are not already in heaven with our Lord and Savior is because we are here on a mission. Number 8, believers have been sent as Christ was. And this is in direct connection to number 7, really. As believers, we are seen as righteous in the eyes of God. We are being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. But also, we are still here for the same reason that Christ was sent. We are, again, growing more and more into His image. We should be doing more and more what He desires that we do. In John 20:21, Jesus said to His disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Believers have been sent as Christ was. Number 9, why share the gospel? It is a New Testament pattern. In fact, it is the New Testament pattern. Spreading the gospel worldwide is the pattern of the entire New Testament. In fact, everything that we read in the New Testament pertains to the furtherance of the gospel to the ends of the earth until the end of this age. The New Testament is all about believers growing so that they can reach the lost world. I want to read a passage to you from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says this. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yeah, wonderful. Great news. He goes on. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And I'll just tell you, that's not talking about just me. It's talking about all of us who have been commissioned to speak God's word to those around us. He goes on, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" We have been sent. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." That is the New Testament pattern. Why share the gospel? Number 10. Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us to. If you're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, glance up at verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." One evangelist wrote, he said, "How can anybody claim to love Jesus well who does not set out to love what Jesus loves?" Number 11, God's word compels us. God's word compels us to share the gospel. Back in Romans chapter 10 again, verse 14, "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" That's the word of God. It compels us to share the gospel. Number 12. Winning souls is the wisest thing that we can do. Winning souls is the wisest thing that we can do. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say you were going to buy a used car, and you found two of them, all right? Two of them about equal in cosmetic and mechanical condition. They both looked in the same condition. They both drove the same. They operated just fine, and they were the exact same price. Only one of them had 20,000 miles on it. The other had 200,000 miles on it. Which one would be the wiser to buy? The one that'll last longer. The one that'll last longer. Let's say you had two people that you were advising about life. One of them, you spoke about health and fitness. The other, about living eternally even after their physical body wore out. Which would be the wiser advice? The one that lasts longer, right? The one that'd last longer. Winning souls to Christ is the wisest thing that we can do. In fact, Proverbs 11:30 says it this way. It says, "But the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." Why share the gospel? Number 13. There are promises of reaping and sowing. There are promises of reaping and sowing. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we are told, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." There are rewards for sowing the seed of the gospel, both in this life and especially in the next. And one thing is for certain, we will not win anyone to Christ without sowing the seed of the gospel. Number 15, why share the gospel? That's what it says right there, number 14. You're paying attention. Wow, that was impressive. That was impressive. Number 14, why share the gospel? Satan is opposed to it. This, too, is, I think, a really great one because there are, and maybe you can relate to this, but there are some organizations in our country that oftentimes the simple fact that they are opposed to it makes me for it. Even, you know, it's one of those things. There are organizations that are plainly opposed to anything godly. And I find that even if it's something that I am not entirely educated on, if they are opposed to it, I'm for it. All right? And therefore, you know, if Satan is opposed to the God, this isn't the best reason, okay? But it's certainly a reason nonetheless. Why share the gospel? Because Satan is opposed to it. If you're still in 2 Corinthians, turn back a chapter to chapter 4 and verses 3 through 5. I just want to show you this. It says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age," it's talking about the devil, Satan here, "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." And then in verse 5, or we could even read it this way, "So we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus the Lord." The fact that Satan opposes the gospel is a great reason to share it. In connection with that, why share the gospel? Number 15, believers are to be a light. We are to be reflecting the light of Christ to those around us. still in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, peek at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 1:7 encourages us to bear witness of the light that all might believe. Number 16, why share the gospel? It is good news for the whole world. It is good news for the whole world. My son and his wife got in a car accident a little over a month ago. Everybody was fine, all parties involved. Nobody was hurt. However, his car, which was worth about $4,000, was totaled. Bad news. Bad news. However, just a few weeks ago now, he got a phone call from the insurance adjuster saying that the preliminary estimate of what he would get for his $4,000 car plus other expenses would be right close to $10,000. Good news. Good news. Within minutes, he was on the phone to Dad, sharing that good news with me. All right. We have good reason to share good news. In Luke chapter 2, you know, the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then in that same chapter, a few verses later, verse 17, it says, "When the shepherds had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." In 2 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." It is good news for all the world. Why share the gospel? Number 17. Great rewards come from it. This is closely connected to that sowing and reaping. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, it says, or Paul likens sharing the gospel to the nurturing of a crop. And he says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." He goes on to say, "So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." But then in verse 8, he says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Great rewards come from it. Number 18, why share the gospel? We must work while it is still day. Let me explain that. We must work while it is still day. This is a phrase that is actually used several times in Scripture. In fact, Jesus himself used it. But it speaks of the time, the day, that we are in right now. And the fact that this day, this time that we are in right now will one day end. We are right now in the day of the Lord. That's where we are. We are right now in the 2015th year of our Lord. But as the prophet Joel put it, the great and terrible day of the Lord is coming. A day of wrath. A day of darkness. A day when judgment is coming upon the wicked of the world, those who have not trusted in Christ. And so it is urgent that we work right now while it is still day. Why share the gospel? Number 19, because hell is real. Because hell is real. Though I have listed this one near the end, this reason for sharing the gospel is far from the least. Scripture actually speaks more of hell than it does heaven. It is a place of eternal darkness, torment, and separation. And unless one chooses Christ in this life, they will spend eternity in that death. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I just want to show you this passage. Revelation chapter chapter 21. And I just want to read you verse 8. And this is the eternity, the second death, you're going to see the scripture call it. This is what it is. Chapter 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are those who did not trust Christ in this life. We must share the gospel because hell is real. Hell is real, and the gospel provides the escape. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, "Would that God make hell so real to us that we cannot rest, and heaven so real that we must have men there." Lastly, number 20, we must share the gospel because it is the most reasonable thing we can do. It is the most reasonable thing we can do. And I'm ending with this. If all men and women without Christ are lost, if Christ died for all, if He is the only way to heaven, if He is the only way to escape hell, then it is imperative that we do at least something to spread the gospel everywhere. Not all Christians are equipped to pastor a church. Not all Christians are equipped to teach a Bible study. Not all Christians are equipped to give large amounts of time, energy, or money to the spread of the gospel worldwide, or even to become a missionary in a foreign land. But we have all been commissioned and equipped, commanded to be a consistent witness and proclaimer of Christ. If you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, not only do you have heaven, but you have the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you to be witnesses to Christ in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been allowed by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. I pray that that is us. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we do thank you for these 20 reasons that we have looked at this morning to share the gospel. And I pray that that at least one, perhaps, or more of these has convicted us, perhaps, if that is what we needed in this area. That we would, next time we meet that person next door, that person walking down the street, that person we have conversation with in line at the grocery store, our own family, our best friend, I pray that we would speak. Thank you for your empowerment in that. Thank you for giving us not only a commission and command, but the authority, responsibility, and power to fulfill it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.